Today's Shi'ur Masechet Kedushin Daf Chaf Beis. We will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis, two lines from the bottom. At the end of the previous Shi'ur, we were discussing the concept of Yifas Toyer. The Gemara, at least at the beginning of today's Shi'ur, further analyzes this. Tan Rabbanan, Verisa B'Shivya, the Pasuk says, regarding Yifas Toyer, you sear in captivity. Says the Gemara, B'Shas Shivya. A woman becomes Yifas Toyer only during captivity. And the Rishonim say a number of pshat on what this means. One pshat that they say is that if somebody had their eyes on this woman before the war, and then the war begins, that is not a Yifas Toyer. A Yifas Toyer is a woman that was only met during the war. Another pshat that I saw is if the person intended at the beginning to take this woman as a shivcha, or in another capacity, he can't then change his mind and say that he wants her to be a Yifas Toyer. Eishes, v'afil eishesish. Even if she's an eishesish, the halacha of Yifas Toyer applies. And here too, the Rishonim offer many pshatim. Because Tosfos is troubled. He says, if we're talking about a guy and a non-Jewish woman, so how is she an eishesish? Eishesish is a concept that applies by Jews. So Taisha says that even though all of the details of the halacha of Eishes Ish certainly only apply by Yisraelim, the concept of an Eishes Ish certainly also applies by a non-Jew. If non-Jewish people are married, they're considered Eishes Ish, considered his wife. Actually, it's a pasuk in the Torah. The Dovak Be'ishtoi, the Leiba Eishes Acher, doesn't only speak to Jews, and even though she's married, that's one. Another pshat that I saw is that the Mefarshim point out that there's a concern about Avchana. We know, we've discussed this halacha many times, that if a couple gets divorced or a husband dies, the wife may not be married for 3 months because if she's pregnant, we won't know who the father is. Here, Torah tells us that even though she's an Eishes Ish and even though she may be pregnant, we can go ahead with the Yifas Toyer program. Another pshat that I saw is that if she's married to another man, albeit a non-Jewish man, it's very likely that she's still thinking about that man. And maybe therefore she should not be a Yifas Toyer. A Jewish man should not be allowed to live with her. Tells us the Torah that it's permissible. Along the same line, since she's married to someone else, so there's a concept of Gezel, she's someone else's wife, and perhaps the din of Yifas Toyer ought not to apply, teaches us the Torah, afil eishesish, that it does apply. Yifas Toyer, says the Gemara, le'dibra Torah el k'neged yitzahara. The Torah speaks to the yitzahara. Mutav, it's preferable, she'yarech li'yisrael basa t'musas. Certainly, a Yifas Toyer is not something that's very commendable, but it's better that it should be done in a permissible manner, even though it's va'yarech basa t'musas, nevelas, which means as follows. The halacha is, if an animal is sick, that's not the animal that we really want a shech to eat. But technically, it's kosher. A nevela is never kosher. Here, too, Yifas Toyer, if you follow the procedure the Torah tells us, it's a permissible procedure versus taking or not following the rules the Torah gives us, which is totally prohibited. Farshim go on to say, like Dibra Torah Elkan Nega Yetzahara is as follows. If the Torah would not give us an opportunity, would not give us a way how to have relations with the Yifas Toyer, the Yetzahara would just maybe be too strong for people to stand up to it. Now that there's a permissible way, that takes away the enticement, so to speak, and perhaps the person won't have relations with her at all. That's one pshat that I saw. Then I saw a very interesting pshat from the Chanukah Satoyra. Because he focuses on the words of the Gemara, like Dibra Tyra Ella Kenega Yetzahara. It's sort of the Gemara just said, Dibra Tyra Kenega Yetzahara. So he says there's a famous Gemara, that there was a Tana that didn't have a great marriage. And as Talmidim said, it's terrible that you're in such a situation. He says, my wife is tremendous, because of my wife, she raises my children, number one. And number two, she prevents me from doing something immoral. So even if she doesn't do anything else past that, she should be appreciated. Says the Chanukah Satoyra, we know that the Torah teaches us that if somebody marries a Yifas Toyer, the children are going to be a Ben Sarah Meir. That's why in the Torah, the Pasha Yifas Tyre, and then we have the Pasha Ben Sarah Meir. So if somebody marries a Yifas Tyre, the advantage that a wife brings into the marriage, that they'll have great children, isn't really there. There's only one advantage, that he doesn't have a problem with the Yetzirah. She says, if somebody marries a Yifas Tyre, like Dibra Tyre Elkanegi Yetzirah, the only advantage of being married, of avoiding the Yetzirah is there. The other advantage of having good children is lost. The chashakta, you desire her, apish enano. She may not even be attractive, but if that's what the man wants, that's what it is. Ba, the law baba b'chaverta. You can't choose two yifas tar. V'lekachta, lekuchin yesh l'chaba. You can have lekuchin. And here we also have a fundamental machloikas rishonim, how to understand this. Some rishonim explain that even though normally geiris has to be done with the full consent of the ger, and here this woman was taken sort of forcefully, still the geiris is considered a full-fledged geiris. Other Rishonim say that there's no way that we could consider a geiris that wasn't done with the full consent of the ger as a real geiris. And the Torah is teaching us a chiddush, that even though this woman technically is not really a full-fledged ger because she didn't really agree, still, and if she's not a full-fledged ger, then kedushin ought not to be effective. Here the Torah teaches us a chiddush that the kedushin is effective. L'cha, l'isha, shlo yikach shtei noshim, a man shouldn't take two wives, achas loy v'achas loviv. Choose one for himself and one for his father, achas loy v'achas l'rabbi, achas l'vnoi, one for him and one for his son. V'yaveisa, melamet shlo yichatzena b'machama, he shouldn't do anything and war should get home. And here we have, Tosfos teaches us a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. Rashi's opinion is that even the first act of relations with a yifas tyre is not permitted until the entire procedure that the Torah describes is first done. Then and only then, according to Rashi, can you have relations with her. Tosfos is troubled with that pshat, because Tosfos says, as we just learned, that the entire reason the Torah made it mutter is because the person's Yetzahara, so to speak, is burning. So if he's going to have to wait, what have we accomplished? So Tosfos therefore learns, and Tosfos actually says that these two opinions are really two opinions quoted in the Yerushalmi, says that the first act of relations is permitted immediately. And then you bring her home, and you follow the entire process to continue getting married to her and being allowed to remain with her on a permanent basis. The Mefarsh of the Rishonim defend Rashi's opinion by saying that if the person knows that ultimately he's going to be allowed to have relations with her, then he's willing to wait. Only if he was never allowed to have relations with her can the person, then would the person have a hard time waiting. The Gemara goes back to the din that we've been discussing of Ritzia by an Eved Ivri. Tana Rabbanan. Oimer Yoimer. Achiyoymer v'yishna. The Eved has to say twice that he wants to remain. Omer b'tchila sheish, v'yomer b'soyv sheish. If he said at the beginning of his term, not at the end of his term, ein anirtza. He can't be qualified for tziyah. Shnemar le'etze chavshi, achiyoymer b'shas yitziyah. He has to say it as he's about to leave. Omer b'soyv sheish, v'yomer b'tchila sheish. On the other hand, we only said at the end and not at the beginning. Also in Inirtza. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Em Omar Yoimer Oved, Ach Yom Kishu Eved. He has to say it while he's still an Eved. Omar. So says the Gemara. Omar B'Tchil Shesh. If he says it at the beginning, V'lo Omar B'Soyv Shesh, but not at the end, in Inirtza. Shenema, Loi Eitzei Chavshi. Ask the Gemara, my Irimaloy Itzachovshi, why is the Brisa quoting this pasuk? Typically, we know that what is required to do with Tzia, that the Eved has to approach and say, that I want to remain with my wife and my children. At the beginning of his term, he doesn't have a wife yet, he doesn't have children. Veleka, Vesu. Furthermore, on the side, Veleyam Sheif, he said at the end, Veleyam Betchil Sheish, and in Nirtza, Shenemer Ha'Eved, he has to still be a slave. Ask the Gemara, ought to soif sheish lav evadhu? He's still a servant, so why not? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Rav betchilas pruta achroina, besoif pruta achroina.
So the way most Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. He has to say it twice. One time he has to say it at the beginning, before he reached his last pruta, and then he has to repeat it when he reached the last pruta. What does the last pruta mean? So the way Rashi and the way the Machna explains what Rashi says, as we know, we discussed this previously, that whenever it is sold, he's sold for a certain amount of money. Every day, every hour could be divided. How much did the owner pay for that day? It's only acceptable to say this when there's still a pruta of value left in this Evid's term. If there's no pruta left, it's too late. So here we have a number of machlokes Rishonim how to understand the Gemara. Some Rishonim say that he has to specifically say it right before they approach the last pruta, and then it should be repeated then. Other Rishonim say that the first time the Evid says it doesn't have to be at that late time. As long as he already has a wife and children, if it's any time during the 6 years, he has to say it then, and then he has to repeat it while he's at the last pruta. And even in this machloikis, there's even a deeper machloikis. Some Rishonim say Yoimer V'Yishna, he has to say it twice. He has to say it twice. He has to say it really, that'll turn out to be four times. Twice before the last pruta, and twice during the last pruta. What before the last pruta, meaning we have a machloikis. The Chazon Ish points out that if he said it at the right time, even though the Ritzia did not actually take place before his term ended, that doesn't prevent them from becoming a Nirtza. As long as he said it before the last, as long as he said it, the fact that he said it early, the fact that he said it but didn't have the Ritzia is not a problem. Chazon Ish says, until he has the Ritzia, obviously he's not an Eved. So during the interval from when he said it properly and his term ends, doesn't work, and then we'll do the Ritzia, and he goes back to work. There's a very interesting Medrash that the Maril Diskin comments on. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, we know Parshas Vaschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wants to remain and go with Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says, Atois Ravloch, Atois Dabalai Oit. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that? Says the Maril Diskin. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is that I want to remain an Eved Nirtz. I want to remain a Nirtz. I want to remain an Eved. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't repeat what you're saying. Because a Nirtza is only a Nirtz, as we just said, if he repeats what he's saying. So Al Tois V'Lai, don't repeat what you're saying, so you won't be qualified to be an Eved Nirtza. Which really touches another Machloikis. There's Machloikis, Chassam Sofer and Chazon Ish. The Chassam Sofer says, what would be the din if the Eved Ivri wants to become a Nirtza, but his owner doesn't want him to be a Nirtza, doesn't want him anymore? Some Sofer says he can become a Nirtza. The Chazon Ish disagrees. Chazon Ish says it has to be based on the consent of both the Eved and the owner. So according to the Chassam Sofer, the Medrash is very understood. If Moshe Rabbeinu is the Eved Nirtza, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't agreeable, doesn't make a difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, as long as you follow the rules, you automatically become a Nirtza. I don't want you to do it. But now there's a question. If according to the Chazon Ish, one is only a Nirtza, if both the Eved and the owner agree, so the question is, why do we have to go through the whole Ritzia process? Let the Eved sell himself after 6 years again to the owner. Why does the Torah have to introduce the Pasha of Ritzia? So Chazon Ish says, a gevaldige teretz. Chazon Ish says that the halach is that only an Eved that was sold by Beis Din could be given a Shifcha Kananis. As we're going to learn in a moment, what's the whole reason this Eved wants to remain? Because he wants to remain with a Shifcha Kananis. So if he's going to end his term and then be sell himself again, he can't go back to the Shifcha Kananis. So he's defeated his purpose. So we have to specifically have the Ritzia. Yes, it requires, according to Chazon Ish, consent of the owner and the Eved, in order that he should be able to remain with his wife, the Shifcha Kananis. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Lo Yishu Banim, if the Eved has a wife and children, or the Rabbi Ein Yishu Banim, but the owner doesn't have a wife and children, Ein Anirtza. He can't be a candidate for a Tziya. Shenema, Ki Ahavcha Ves Beisecha,
You have to have you and the owner. So the Farshim discuss, does the owner have to have multiple children, or is one child enough? Bonham seems to be multiple. But the Knesset HaGdolah says as long as he has one child, it's enough. Furthermore, the Rishonim say he has to be a full-fledged wife. It has to be a wife that's nesua to him. If it's a wife that's only an arusa, that's not called a wife. Another question that I saw that the Mishnah HaMelech asks. The Mishnah HaMelech says that the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma that when the Pasuk says by Kohen Gadol, the Chippa Ba'atcha Ba'at Be'ischa, the Kohen Gadol is only allowed to have one wife. So perhaps the halacha should be here too, that only an owner who has only one wife is Ritzia possible, not when he has multiple wives. The Pasuk was Be'ischa. So Mishnah HaMelech says a very interesting teretz. He says, why is the din that Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have more than one wife? Because if Kohen Gadol has many wives, and he may come to think about all of his different wives, and he could bring them to Tumah. That doesn't have anything to do with Eved Ivri, and therefore even if the owner has multiple wives, he's still a candidate for Itziah. The Rabbi Ishubanim, if the owner has wife and children, the Rei Ein Ishubanim, but he doesn't, and a Nirtza. Because the Torah requires, Shnemer Hafti Es Adonis Ishtei Vespanai. He has to have a wife and children that he likes. Who are this Rabbi? If he likes his owner. Rabbi Eino Yahavoi, but his owner doesn't like him. Eino Nirtza. Shnemar Kitovo Imach. It has to be a situation where you have a good relationship. So ask the Rishonim, if he doesn't have a good relationship with his owner, why would he want to stay? So Rishonim gives two answers. One answer they give is, he may not have a good relationship with his owner, but he needs to stay because he needs the money. So that's why the Torah teaches us, if you don't have a good relationship, you can't stay. Or, another pshat, is that he does have a great relationship with his owner, but he likes his wife and children. And that's why he's willing to remain with that owner. Teaches us the Torah, no. If you don't get along with the owner, you can't remain. Rabbi Yehoi, Vuenes, Rabbi, and in the Tishinam Kehevcha. Hu Chayla, if he's an ill, not well person, for Rabbi and a Chayla, but his owner is not, is a healthy person, and in the Tishinam Kitav Le'imach. You both have to be in good shape. Rabbi Chayla, the owner is not well, but he's well, and in Irtza. Shnema imach, you have to be together. Bar Rabbi Barabaya, Shneim Cholim, both the owner and the Evra ill. Mai, imach pinan, they're both in the same category. Both nabach sick. Vika, Adoma kitovla imach. It's not just enough that they should both be in the same category. They both should be in the same status, in a good status. For Halakha, here they're both sick. Teiku. Tanabonim. Kitov le'imach. We learned this Gemara earlier. Imach b'machol, imach b'mashta. The shleitei ata oichel pas nekia. The owner shouldn't be eating quality bread for oichel pas kibun. He gives his eved poor quality bread. Ata shosi yayin yoshin. You're drinking great wine. And rushosi yayin chadash. And he's drinking inferior wine. Ata yoshel gabim muchin. He's sleeping on good mattresses, Vata Yashan Gavatevan, and he's sleeping on a straw mattress. Bekan Amru, Kakoina Evid Ivri, whoever buys an Evid Ivri, is Kakoina Adon La'atzmai, is like buying himself a master. So just to repeat some of the halachas here, the Rosh says that the halacha is that the owner could stipulate with the Evid when he purchases him that I now have to give you all of these luxuries. Moreover, the Me'iri says, if the owner, even though he's supposed to treat him so well, did not treat him this way, he doesn't have a claim in Besdin. The Evid doesn't have a claim in Besdin to the owner that you have to give me this and you didn't. Another halacha is that even though the Gemara seems to be saying that the owner has to give the Evid everything he takes on his own status, there are Rishonim that suggest it doesn't have to go that far. There are Rishonim that suggest as long as the owner treats the Evid the same way he treats his other family members, the way he treats his children, that's good enough. And the last point, we mentioned this also earlier, is the Yerushalmi's question. The Yerushalmi asks that here the Gemara says that the Evid should be treated equally to the owner, to the owner's family. It says equally, not better. So why does the Gemara say, Kikoina Adam Latzmai, that the Evid becomes like the Adam? He's not like the Adam, he's equal. So he answers the Yerushalmi, what would be the situation if the owner has only one good mattress?
So the halach is that the Eved gets it and not the owner. So that's where we have a situation that the Eved turns into the Adam. He's going to be sleeping on the good mattress and the owner will be on the not good mattress. Tan Rabbanan, V'yotza Mi'imach, Hu Ubanav Imay. Om Rav Shimnim, Hu Nimkar, if the Eved became an Eved, Bonav Ubanayitza Mi'imkar, did his children become Avadim? Bikan, Shirabai Chayv Mezoinis Bonav. He has to support the Eved's family. Kiyotz V'dava Ata Oimer, and Baal Ishayhu, V'yotza Ishti Imay. Om Rav Shimon, Hu Nimkar, if the Eved was sold, Ishtoy Mi Nimkar, where does his wife come into the picture? Bikan, Shirabai Chayv Mezoinis Ishtoy. He has to support the wife. And here we have, again, two machloikis rishayim. One machloikis rishayim is, we know that the Gemara says in Masechta Ksuvos that a wife has to turn over her earnings to her husband. So in a situation where the owner is supporting the Eved's wife, where do the earnings go? The Rambam seems to say that the earnings go to the owner. If he's supporting her, she should be giving him his earnings. The Ramban says that the earnings go to the husband. There's a din that the wife's earnings go to the husband no matter what. Another question is that the Gemara says here that the owner has to support the children of the Eved. Till what age do they have to be supported? I actually saw three opinions. One opinion is until they're 6 years old, another opinion until they're 12 years old, another opinion is as long as they're not able to support themselves or they're not supporting themselves, the owner has to support them. So the Rishonim ask, and we learned this Gemara Masechta Ksuvos, that the halacha is that our father could tell, the husband could tell his wife that I'm not going to support you. And he's ancha. So why should the owner have to support the wife if the husband doesn't have to support the wife? Say the Rishonim, since in most situations husbands, Baruch Hashem, do support wives, we can't say that since halachically it's acceptable that a husband doesn't have to support the wife, that should be a reason that the owner doesn't have to support her. Since most husbands support the wife, and now this person is working full time for the owner as an Eved Ivri, the owner has to assume that responsibility. Ask the Gemara v'tzricha. Why do we need a pasuk that the owner has to support both the children and the wife? The Ashmin and Bonav, Meshum Dela B'nei Meved Mechlenu, they're not able to work for themselves. Aval Ishtoy, the Bas Mechle Mevedhi, she could go work. Why should the owner have to support her? Let her go work. V'yashmin ishtoy, the law of darkel haduri. A woman, if she doesn't have enough, it's inappropriate that she should have to go ask for food, for money. Avbonov, the darkel haduri, they could go collect stocker, a maloi, that the owner should not have to support her, to support them, tzricha. Tanabonov. Ilimemar, now the Gemara goes into the actual halachas of the Ritzia. Ilanem ozna bedelis, hayisi oimi yitke kenegna ozoi bedelis, yitke kenegna ozna bedelis. That you should take his ear, put it next to the door, but the hole should be made in the doorway, but not in the ear. Delis in, ozna loi. Only a hole in the door, not in the ear. Ask the Gemara, how could you even think so? V'ozen loy, that you don't make a hole in the ear? V'ksiv, the pasuk explicitly says, v'rotza adonov, as ozna b'matzei, that you have to make a hole in the ear. Elayis ema, yitzen el azroi, lo'ozen ma'avroi, that you should make a hole, v'yinchen al adalas, and then put it by the door, v'yitke kenegin ozna b'dalas, that you should make two holes, one hole in the ear, and then bring that ear with the hole next to the door and make another hole in the door. Tamalayma ba oznoi ubedelis. Okay, so how is this accomplished? Doike v'holich, keep on making a hole, atcha me'agir etzal delis, until you hit the door. The delis continues the brisa, shmeini ben akura ben shein akura, it makes no difference if the delis is connected, if the doorway is connected or not. Tamalayma mezuzah. Ma mezuzah mu'umid, a mezuzah is only when it's standing, af delis nami mu'umid. And the Noida Behuda uses this Gemara to teach us a halacha in Hilchas Mezuzah. He says, sometimes you see this typically in front of stores, a flat doorway where you go down into a basement. Is such a doorway obligated to have a mezuzah? So he says, our Gemara says that a mezuzah is only considered a mezuzah when it's mu'umid, when it's standing. So if you have a flat doorway, it's not considered a mezuzah, a doorway that's mechuyu b'mezuzah. The Mechus Elazar disagrees with the Noida Behuda. He says, Al Gemara is only speaking regarding Hilchus Ritziyah, that to accomplish Ritziyah, the doorway has to be standing. But that doesn't teach us anything regarding Hilchus Mezuzah. And therefore he paskins that if the doorway is totally flat, a mezuzah should be put on it without a bracha. But sometimes you have it like in a slanty position. There he says not only should a mezuzah be put on, but a mezuzah could even be put on with a bracha. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai continues the Gemara, Hayudarish is a mikra zek kemen chaymer. He explained this pasuk kemen chaymer, machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to explain kemen chaymer. Rashi explains chaymer like a piece of jewelry. He came up with a gorgeous pshat. Tosfos says kemen chaymer, we understand, because now the Gemara is going to focus, why taka is this done? Man ishtana oizem mikolei vorem shebegof. Why is the ear get pierced? Om HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oizen sheshom mikolei al-har Sinai. The ear that heard, v'shashamati keli b'nei Yisrael avodim, v'loi avodim l'avodim, they're supposed to be my servants, not servants to other men, for holach zeh v'kodim l'atzmai, and now he goes and takes an odim for himself, yirotze, deserves to be pierced. Rav Shimon Rebbe HaYudarish, as the mikra zeh kemen chaymer, again kemen chaymer, manishtanas delos mezuzah, v'kod kelim shebabayis, why are the door and the mezuzah singled out? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Dalos and Mezuzah Shoyim, Edom and Mitzrayim, the Dalos and Mezuzah that were witnesses, B'shoah she'pesachti al mashkel shtei Mezuzahs, as the Kadosh Baruch Hu jumped over the doorways of the Jewish homes, V'mati, Keli b'nei Yisrael avodim, V'loi avodim l'avodim, they're my servants, not servants to avodim, V'etzesim ma'avdus l'cheres, and I took him out to freedom, V'olach zev kodin adon l'atzma, and now he went and took for himself an adon, Yirotz b'fneihem, deserves to be pierced. And as we learn this Gemara, the Mefarshim are troubled with many fundamental questions. One question is that, fine, it's a terrible thing that this Eved is taking an Odin for himself. It's an Aveira. But why, specifically by this Aveira, is the ear pierced? Why not by every other Aveira? Does the person heard not to do this Aveira, not to do that Aveira, and we don't find that the Torah tells us that his ears should be pierced? So Mefarshim answer that we the Klal Yisrael hear by Har Sinai Kilei B'nei Yisrael Avodim. They didn't hear that. Where does it say that? That's a pasuk in Parashas Bahar. So some say what the Gemara means is because Parashas Bahar begins with Yidabah Hashem HaMoshe Bahar Sinai. But I saw the Rishonim answer. They actually heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because how did the Seres B'Dibris begin? Anoicha Hashem Elokecha Asher tseisicha mi'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beis avodim. The words mi'beis avodim are superfluous. We know what we were in Mitzrayim. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Klal Yisrael? In Mitzrayim you were in a beis avodim. Now you're not supposed to be avodim anymore. So, and we know that the only two dibris that Klal Yisrael heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu were the first two dibris. So this concept that we shouldn't take another Adon, we should be only with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is one of the only things that we heard directly from Hashem alone. And this person violates what he heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiratzim. Taisus goes even a little deeper. He says the word Matzeah is B'gematria 400. 400 represents the amount of years that we were supposed to be a Vadim and Mitzrayim. But then, the Rishonim and Mefarshim ask, if so, as we just explained, one becoming an Eved is such a terrible Aveira, so why only after the Eved wants to be a Nirtza do we pierce his ears? We should pierce his ears as soon as he becomes an Eved at the first place. So there are a number of answers given. One answer is we know that we never give a person two punishments at the same time. Kimai with the Rabbanei. Becoming an Eved is enough of a punishment, so that we should become an Eved and also have his ear pierced is a double punishment. Another pshat is that when a person becomes an Eved at the beginning, it's not that he did the right thing, he stole or whatever, but he got into this circumstance. Here, the person completes his term. So you shouldn't want to continue being an Eved. You go and you want to continue being an Eved, that's a violation. A third pshat, again along the same lines, as a person becomes an Eved, So we know, as we've learned so many times, the term is a six-year term. A nirtza is vavada la'olam. It's a lot worse. That's why he deserves to have ritzia. And as we end this sugya, it's worth repeating what Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt says. He says, what is our Gemara saying? That why is an eved nirtza? Because it violates what we heard on Har Sinai. The din of ritzia applied for hundreds and thousands of years after Kabbalah Satira. It kept on applying until as long as there were Eved Ivrim by Klal Yisrael. So the people of thousands of years after Kabbalah Satira, they never heard it. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, from here we see the impact and the influence that Kabbalah Satira had on Klal Yisrael. That the Neshamas and the generations, there were so many, many generations and years after the actual Kabbalah Satira, Shema, those ears, it's still ringing in our ears. Those words that we heard at Har Sinai. Every Jew still hears and is still influenced by those tremendous words. Says the Mishnah. Eved Kenani, and Eved Kenani, we begin discussing, is Nikna B'Kesef B'Shtar B'Chazaka. Actually, the Meiri points out that when the Mishnah uses the words Eved Kenani, it's not precisely an Eved Kenani, because we know that the Torah says, L'Sechaya Kol Neshama, that the Kenani were not allowed to remain alive. So when it says Eved Kenani, it doesn't mean, a Kenani means any non-Jew. Although, the Miri does say that there are Rishonim that suggest that an Eved Kenani who agrees to follow the mitzvahs who is left alive, and that's also included in Eved Kenani. So how is he bought? B'kesef, b'shtar, or b'chazaka. B'koinem es atzmai, how does he get himself released? B'kesef, aydei cheirim, all of this will be described in Mitzvah Shem at great length in the Gemara. B'shtar, aydei atzmai, divur emeya. V'chamamrim, b'kesef, aydei atzmai, kesef through himself, or b'shtar, aydei cheirim, or v'ayat sheir kesef mishal cheirim. So the Rishonim ask, as we've discussed, the halach is, we're going to learn about this more in the later dafim, the halach is that if the owner damages one of the chof dalad rashi avarim of the eved, the halach is the eved goes out free. So why isn't that method mentioned in our Mishnah? So I saw two terutzim in the Rishonim. One terutz in the Rishonim is that we're going to see that there's an opinion in the Gemara that even if the odin damages one of those rashi avarim, he still has to give the eved a shtar shichur. Therefore, the Mishnah doesn't already mention shtar. Another teretz is that when the eved is released under those circumstances, it's not a typical situation of being released, that the eved is being freed. It's more as a knas. It's more as a punishment to the owner for having damaged the eved. That's not called kanes atzma that is released. It's just a punishment to the owner. There is a machloikus rishonim when the Mishnah says that an eved could be bought with a shtar, is that whether the eved is bought from a Jew, or even if he's bought from a goy. Some Rishonim say that the method of shtar only works if he's bought from a Jew. Others say even if he's bought from a goy. The Rishonim also ask, the Mefarshim also ask, a big concept which we're going to be spending a lot of time learning is that kamash kan eved kan a rabbi. Whatever the eved has is really the owner's. So the Mishnah says that what's one of the ways that an owner could buy an eved is the kesef. Now, so what's he going to do? The owner is going to give the eved kesef. But the kesef will become the owner's because kamash kana eved, kana rabbi. So what have we accomplished? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that this is an exception. That this kesef doesn't become the owner's. Another terutz that I saw is that indeed you can't give the eved kesef, because the eved is not going to gain anything by getting the kesef. What they have to give him is food to eat and to drink, that the owner doesn't automatically own. Mamala, says the Gemara, how do we know where these methods apply? The ksiv, v'snachaltam oysam levnech makrechem, v'resh sachuza. Hekishav akosav, the Torah compares an eved kenani l'stei achuza. Ma'stei achuza, nikna v'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka, af eved kenani, nikna v'kesef b'shtar u'b'chazaka.
Ask the Gemara, Imaste Chuza Chazeres Labalim B'Yovel. Just like we know, we spent a lot of time speaking about this, that the Ste Chuza goes back to the owners, the original owners B'Yovel, Af Evknani Chazer Labalim B'Yovel, or to go back to the owners B'Yovel, Tamaloimer Loilim Behem Tavoidu. It only goes, as the Rashba explains, we explain, just like we said by the Nirtza, that the word L'Olam means Til Yovel, here too, the word L'Olam means Til Yovel. Here too, it must be forever, because if it wasn't forever, what does it have to say L'Olam? Tana, after Chalipin. Chalipin is another method, how to purchase an Eved Kanani. Ask the Gemara, so why doesn't our Tana mention it in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, but Tana Nidon. Nelson the lace of metaltlin, a method that doesn't apply by metaltlin, ktani, was mentioned in the Mishnah. Nelson the isa, metaltlin, but a method of kinyan that works even by metaltlin, like tani, is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Amishmul, ev kanani, nicknam a meshicha. Meshicha will also work as a method of purchasing an ev kanani. Ketzad, tukfai, or batzlai. If you take the Eved Kanani and you schlep him towards you, that is a valid Meshicha. However, Koro Batzloi, if you just call him and he approaches you, Loikona, that's not a valid approach for Kenyan. So ask the Gemara, so why isn't Meshicha mentioned? It says, Rabbi Shlomo Tana Dadon, Milsa the Isra Matata Loikotani, Al Tana, as we just said a moment ago, only the less metalti ktani. Only methods that don't work by metaltlin are mentioned. So therefore, since meshicha is a valid way of buying metaltlin, a mishnah omits it. El tana bura that even mentions methods that apply by metaltlin. So why isn't it mentioned meshicha? Nisnim meshicha says the gemara kiktani milsa. That tana only mentions methods. These are the karka and metatli that work both by karka and metatlin. Meshicha, however, the metatli isa work by metatlin, the makarkin lesser, but doesn't work with makarkin like tani. And therefore, meshicha is omitted even from the brisa. So ask the rishonim. We began our gemara that the gemara says that the methods that work by karka work by eved. So if Mashiach doesn't work by Karka, why does it work by Eved? Answer the Rishonim, the reason Mashiach doesn't work by Karka is because it's impossible to do Mashiach on Karka. It's not because the Halacha doesn't allow it, the Metzias doesn't allow it. But that's not considered a situation where Karka and Eved aren't the same. Ketzad, so the Brisa, we said, how would Meshicha work? Tokvoy or Bratzloy, if somebody grabbed the Eved and drew him towards him, Kona. However, Kora Bratzloy, if you call the Eved and he approaches you, Loy Kona. That wouldn't be acceptable Meshicha. Ask them of a Kora Loy, is calling the item you want to buy not an acceptable method of Meshicha? Vatanya, Ketzad b'Mesira, how does Kinya Mesira work on an animal, achsa b'talfa, if you grabbed it by the hoof, b'sara, by its ear, book of shalel, with its, on its saddle, b'shlif shalel, b'primiv shepia, b'zuk shebitzavar, you grab the bell, the yoke, the saddle, kona, keitza b'mashicha, that's mesira, keitza b'mashicha, what is mashicha, koroloi, if you call it and it approaches you, or you give it a slap with a stick, and it runs in front of you. Many Rishonim say it doesn't have to be in front of you. Even if it's behind you, it's also fine. As long as it picked up both sets of its feet, it's acceptable. Picking up its feet is not enough. It has to travel the distance of its length. So you see that calling it is enough. Why, by an Eved, are we saying that Meshicha only works if you actually schlep the Eved? Answers the Gemara. Amri. Behemah da'ata demara azla. A behemah doesn't have its own independent intelligence. So if it comes to you because you called it, it's because of your act. Eved, an Eved, has his own intelligence. And that's why Adat the Nafsha Kazal, and therefore, if it approaches you just if he approaches you just because you called him, it doesn't mean that you did anything. The only way it's considered you did something is if you actually grab hold of him and schlep him. Omer Rav Ashi, now that we've explained the Gemara this way, an Eved Katan, who doesn't have his own das, doesn't have his own intellect, Kebehem Adami, Mashiach could work even if you just call the Katan and he approaches you. Tana Rabbanan, Ketzeb Chazaka, we learned in the Mishnah that one of the methods of doing a Kinyan for Neved Kanani, it was Chazaka. What does that mean? Hitalei Man Minoloi, if he untied the shoes, most Rishonim mean that the Eved untied the shoes of the owner. Oy Holach Kalev Achrov LeBeis HaMerchetz, or he carries his clothing for him to the bathhouse. If Shitoi, he undressed him. Hechsika, he washed him. Socha, he anointed him. Gorda, he scraped him. Helbisha, he niloi, Higdiya Konai. And the Rishonim explain that there are two characteristics that will define Chazaka. One characteristic is that he did something that causes pleasure. But they say it has to be direct pleasure to the owner, washing him, carrying his clothing, or he did something that clearly demonstrates that this is a Maisa Avdus. Clearly demonstrates that he's doing, this is something that an Eved does for his owner. Hidiyai, if he picked him up, if the Eved picked up the owner, Karna. Amar of Shimon, Lechazaka, Lechazaka Gdol Magbah. Chazaka should not be stronger than Agbah. Shagbah kind of come welcome. Ask the Gemara, my comment, what's Rav Shimon mean to say? Amar Vashi, what it means to say like this. Higbihu l'rabbi, if the Eved lifts the owner, Kanoi, that's a legitimate form of Kinyan. Hikine rabbi loy, but if the owner picked up the Eved, loy Kanoi. Amar Rav Shimon, to which Rav Shimon comments, loy te chazaka gdol magbah. If Agbah is always effective, kind of become makom. Here too, Agbah should be effective. And in fact, the Rishonim point out that there's another advantage by Kinyan Agbah versus Kinyan Mashicha. Kinyan Mashicha cannot be effective in Rishus HaRabim. Kinyan Agbah is effective even in Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because what does Kinyan Agbah represent? That I'm lifting the item and bringing it into my Rishus. So the actual lifting the item is always considered an act of bringing into my rishus. Mashicha is only considered an act of bringing into my rishus if it's not a public area like Rishus Rabin. Ask the Gemara, hash the Amrit. If we now were saying, Higbil Rabbi Kanoi, that by Eved lifting the owner, that's a valid act of Kinyan. Elam Ata Shifra Kananas Teknavabiya. We learned early in the Masechta that a Shifcha Kananis cannot be, a Kinyan is not with Biyah. Why isn't Biyah a form of Hagbah? Says the Gemara, Ki Aminan, when is Hagbah? When is a Kinyan considered a Kinyan? Zeh Nen of a Zemetzar, where the purchaser has a Noah and the purchased item doesn't have a Noah. However, Hocha, by Biyah, Zenena v'zenena. Both the owner and the Shifcha have pleasure. Ask the Gemara, perhaps if the owner did Biyah, Shloi Kedarka, Mayikul Meimer, where only the owner would have pleasure, not the Shifcha. Amrav Achber Ado, the Menacha, Man Lemelon, the Lav Hanois Lehu, Lutavaya. Who says that if relations are done in the unnatural way, there is no Hanoah. Furthermore, says the Gemara, V'oi mishkevei ishik siv, hekisha kosev kedarka shloi kedarka. The Torah, when it speaks about prohibited relations, equates the normal way to the non-natural way. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is, what is the Torah teaching us? That the Torah teaches us, don't assume that biya shloi kedarka is not considered a biya, is not considered an act of pleasure. On the contrary, the Torah is considering it an act of pleasure, that if somebody does an avera, therefore he's punished. And therefore, it doesn't follow the characteristics of Kinyan, where the object that's being bought is not supposed to have hanah.